House Finance, come to order. It's 11:27 on Friday, May 13th, 2011. We have one bill before us today. We previously adopted the House Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 46. We won't discuss the fiscal note on the bill. That's pretty apparent. Any comments before we get started or questions? We can go right into the amendments unless there's anything for the good of the order, or it doesn't have to be for the good of the order. Any comments? Comments, Mr. Armstrong, before you? Anything that was asked before that we are going to get back to members on?
No, I have nothing.
Okay. Well, very good. We'll go right to amendments, and I'll start by offering amendment number one, which is, I'm going to read them. It's the Kurtz 5-13-11-27-LS-8-001-A-130, and I'll ask for an objection.
I object, Mr. Chairman, for purposes of discussion.
I believe I moved it, so first, I hope. I moved it, and it's been objected to. Mr. Armstrong.
Thank you. Through the chair, James Armstrong. Last night, after we put out the new CS, we were contacted by the Department of Natural Resources, and in merging the two bills, Ms. Rayfeld and I missed one agency reapproach, and Ms. Rayfeld's behind me, and she will nod yes that the administration supports this.
Yes.
We will take that informal acquiescence this one time. And this is in the errors and omissions category. It's not a new item. Is the objection maintained or any other questions?
I will move my objection, Mr. Chairman.
So amendment number one is adopted. We have amendment number two, which is the to Department of Revenue, and it's the HFC Weatherization and Home Energy Rebate Program. I'll move amendment number two.
Object for purposes of discussion.
This is a $50 million of this was sent over in the CS. It was funded in the capital income account. We pulled it out to, as I think I referenced this in our last meeting, for the weatherization program. We've changed the funding source. It's general fund, and we've added, in addition to the weatherization, an additional $20 million for the home energy rebate program. I think we've had a lot of testimony on this program and the efficacy of it, general agreement. This is one of my prolific spending spurts here as a sponsor of this amendment. Mr. Armstrong.
Just to clarify, the Senate version had $76,500,000 for the HFC weatherization program. We stripped that out, like the chairman said, and replaced it, so it would reflect $76.5 million for that program and $50 million for the home energy rebate program.
And for clarification, there was $26.5 million, and the Senate had added $50 million. So I'm trying to keep up with the math on this. This is a net increase of the governor's program and increases the overall energy assistance over what the Senate version is by $20 million. Representative Guerra.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the governor, like you said, proposed $26 million. HFC came in and testified to us in Anchorage that they needed $100 million to maintain the program at its current levels.
Programs, I think.
Weatherization and the rebate program to keep it at its current pace. And the goal here is to maybe speed up the pace by adding an extra $20 million. Is that the goal of the extra $20 million?
And they're all allocated. The other body's position, and that's at least of the co-chair Hoffman, said where the money goes, where the greatest need is, and that's how the department has been, and the agency has been using that money. It'll probably continue to get spent on the same ratio, but that's Representative Edgman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to speak in support of this and also to address the question I was just put on the table to say that, sometimes the demand is, I think if we put more money in this program, because prices have really gone up as well for all shipping and cost of goods and everything out in rural areas, certainly in urban areas as well, that we could probably even use more of this. Knowing, talking to my local housing authority, the Bristol Bay Housing Authority, as well as the Lucian Housing Authority, they need more money in this program. The amount that was allocated last time, which was a significant amount of money, didn't go far enough. This program creates jobs. It creates, you know, certainly the benefits it creates in terms of energy savings and so forth, but it's a real economic driver as well. So I really support this. And, Mr. Chairman, thanks for your efforts in putting this forward.
Other questions? Representative Guttenberg.
Just an observation. I want to thank the chairman and affirm the importance of this program in the state as a recipient of the energy rebate program. Putting in a new boiler, the savings on my house alone pay for, I think I got $6,000, and the replacement of the 25-year-old boiler was about $9,600 to $10,000. That extra money, I'd be able to pay it off in 2.5 years. The gallon of fuel you don't burn is a savings for not just the state, but for each of us that use this program. And the revitalization for everyone else goes a long way to reliance, self-reliance. So this is, I'm very supportive of this.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions? Mr. Armstrong, did you have any other ancillary information?
No, sir.
Is objection maintained? Hearing none, amendment number 2 passes. And we go backwards and do a little bit of housekeeping. We have all members of the committee here, and I'd like to acknowledge, per our one of our last committee and committee reports, we have our alternate Representative Chenault, co-chair Thomas is, I think we're even, he's in medical treatment, or, and he's in, he's not to put his personal visit, but he has had a long delayed need to be from here, and I think he had hoped to have it done, I think, in earlier in May.
We're hoping third time's a charm.
So we have a full membership, including Speaker Chenault sitting in, full complement of 11, and I believe in attendance we also have Representative Miller, and I think that's the only legislator observing today. So on to amendment number 3.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to offer amendment number 3.
Amendment number 3, I'll object. And
Mr. Chair, what amendment number 3 does is it provides a $12 million supplemental capital budget appropriation for tourism marketing to go to the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development. It removes the operating budget 50-50 match that we had passed in the operating budget for the sake of simplicity. The effective date is May 17th of 2011, so that the department can continue with the sustained marketing program for tourism in Alaska. I think this is the right thing to do. We've had discussions on the House floor and in this committee about tourism marketing, and what this amount will allow is for the efforts to continue for a year while we figure out a long-term marketing plan. The industry brings in about $100 million through about 10 sources that go to the general fund. So with that, Mr. Chair, I'd like your support on Amendment 3.
And I'd like to put on the record, this is not my funding. This is not the alternate, the route for funding this I would prefer. I want to get to the solution when this is a part of the operating budget where there's concurrence agreement and we have the entity. This is, I am not particularly anxious about having this matter back to the capital budget again next year, and it's hope this will send a message for all the parties to work together. That Representative Dugan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just need to know whether this is a net $12 million increase.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman. I'll try that again. What I'm asking is whether this amendment would be a net $12 million increase to the budget. Thank you.
Over last year's budget, it's less money in the budget for tourism than last year. So I don't know if that's the question.
I just want to know if this is $12 million more than when we had, than without this amendment.
Yes. This is $12 million. It's not in the capital budget prior to this.
Thank you.
Potentially adopted, but it also reduces the amount in it. Operating budget, since the state's running it, it's very difficult to do the matching with the QTA that's not going to get the appropriation through the, as it was done in the past, the Qualified Trade Association. But this is a stopgap and not the best way to do this funding, but folks, Chairman, Co-Chair Thomas has worked real hard on this, Commissioner Bell and Representative Costello is bled profusely over this and sweated. Representative Guerra.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Though just to be 100% sure I understand the answer to Representative Dugan's question, I think there's no other money for tourism or marketing in the operating or any other budget, so it's a total of $12 million. That's correct?
With passage of the amendment, is it in the explanation, it takes the, maybe that's on my other notes, but it takes the, it repeals the 108 as the operating budget, so that's the section in there.
Through the chair, I'd just like to make a couple comments. I am going to support this amendment. There was some discussion that I had heard that there's going to be an increase up to $16 million. I'm glad that didn't show up. $12 million is an amount I could live with until we come up with a deal, but there are a few things I just want to note. The projections are that tourism goes up and down with the economy, and the projections are that it is going to be up towards a record high this year, up about 5%. And I don't know that there's a direct correlation between every $1 million that we add to the tourism marketing program and additional tourists up here. I mean, I think they're very economic driven. And state subsidies at some point are state subsidies that I don't know that lead to an actual benefit. The history of the state funding for tourism marketing has been going back to 2001. It's ranged from about $5 to $9 million a year. Last year was an anomaly. It was $16 million. But continuing to raise the state share at some point, I don't know, translates into additional tourists, I think. Those things are economic-driven and private sector-driven. And I've also always been concerned with the tourism industry's match or contribution, I've never been convinced that the tourism industry is putting in the kind of money they need to justify the amount of money the state's putting in. For example, in this year's legislation that didn't pass in the Senate, if you advertise your own business, you know, Joe's fishing guide business, and you advertise that on the internet, that counted as match money, and that doesn't seem right. So in other states, you get a tax credit because tourism companies pay taxes. In this state, most tourism companies don't pay taxes, and they just get money. It's a net one way. But in the spirit of compromise and my gratification that nobody tried to add an extra $4 million to this, I'm going to support the amendment.
Well, we tried. But that's one of those things, you know, anybody in business can tell you often an axiom is, often they'll say half my advertising is wasted. I just wish I knew which half it was, and that's the problem we have with a lot of these efforts. It's anecdotal. But Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I support this amendment for several reasons. First off, when I think about money that we can put into our economy to help as many people as we can, business owners in our economy, the small mom and pops that I represent all up and down through the Susquehanna Valley, whose incomes are dependent entirely on the tourism market. And a lot of those companies are having a lot of trouble, the beds and breakfast, the fishing guides in our district. This helps reach every one of those people. And when we look at expenditures in our capital budget, how do we reach as many people and how do we benefit as many people as we can? I don't consider this a subsidy. I consider it a benefit to the state of Alaska. The amount of money that comes back on this money is way more than $12 million. I also like to, you know, this has been a controversial issue. I'd rather see it in the operating budget. We worked on this earlier. There was a lot of discussion on it. It came back to us. I felt that it would. There was a commitment by just about everybody in this group, I think, or in the legislature, to do all they can to support tourism. Because we do recognize the importance of it. But I think an important part about having this in the capital budget or, is the ability to have some oversight on it, as opposed to the operating budget. Operating budget monies are going to go directly into the administration for oversight on this, having a little bit of having this in the capital budget. We do still have a little bit of oversight on how this is spent. I think that's a good thing to try and ensure that we do come up with an appropriate plan in the future. So I do support this amendment, and quite frankly, I like the way it's going through. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Speaker Chenault.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't get much opportunity usually in the position I'm in to speak, but I'll probably take a little bit of advantage of it today. I think we look back at the history of this, it's been frustrating. I was the co-chair for 4 years. We tried to send a message to the tourism industry that we wanted them to come back with a plan. They didn't. We've been fighting this issue for a number of years, and maybe this is the way we move forward. There was a House bill that was introduced earlier to try to get it out of the realm where we're not discussing and fighting the issue of whether it's $12 million, $6 million, or $8 million per year. But we do have to remember that this is an industry that does pay taxes in this state. I don't have the number in front of me because I'm not on finance, but it's well over $100 million that they contribute to the state coffers every year. And so knowing that there's a downturn in the economy, maybe it is the right time to add a little to it. Last year was an anomaly. We put $16 or $18 million in it, and maybe we'll see some reward from that. But what we need to do as a body is we need to make sure that there's a program put into place that addresses this every year instead of us having to fight over it every year and them come down and us wait till the last minute so that they know how they're being funded. So I'm hoping that the governor and Commissioner Bell are going to put together a program that addresses this issue where we don't have to fight for it, or they don't have to fight for money every year, and you don't have to, at this committee, try to decide their fate. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to take a moment because I was also one that voted against it earlier in the session because I was in hopes that we would have a bill that would go through both bodies. But to me, this is giving back to the industry what the industry gives the government. So this is not a free giveaway. There is a way to monitor it. We can look at all the different funding sources and see if they're going up, and we can also ask and see how much advertising dollars. So although this is probably not the long-term solution, I think it is a step in the right direction. They do bring a lot to the state, and I'm glad that, and very supportive of this. Thank you.
Wrap up, Representative Costello.
Thank you, through the chair. Just to respond to Representative Guerra, the tourism businesses bring in $21.4 million through the corporate income tax in addition to nine other sources of income to the general fund. And with that, Mr. Chair, I think I'll call it good.
Okay. Is objection maintained? Yes. I don't know. I don't maintain my objection. Is there other objection maintained? Hearing none, amendment number three is adopted. Thank you. Representative Dugan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move amendment number four.
Check. Representative Dugan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As we used to say around here, this is a simple bill. It's not very complicated. That doesn't mean it's easy. What this would do is take basically everything that would be in the statutory budget reserve and move it to the Alaska Permanent Fund. The amount here is based on my conversations with Mr. Armstrong and others, because we're all guessing at this point, but the guess is that it would leave almost nothing in the statutory budget reserve. The reasons that I'm offering this should be obvious. We've spent most of 120 days sort of gnawing away at the budgets. We're going to end up spending $7 billion in state funds and about two in the capital budget if this bill passes, also in state funds. And we haven't actually put a dime away in a place that we can't get at it simply by raising our hands. I don't think that's the way my constituents want this money managed. And it's not certainly the way that I want it managed. What this would do would leave something north, and I haven't been keeping track of the actual number, something north of $10 billion in constitutional budget reserve in case there's actually problems that we might have short-term funding the budget. So it doesn't affect that. And it is essentially the, as I see it anyway, an attempt on my part anyway to balance the biggest budget that has ever been produced in the state of Alaska. And with that, I urge support. Thank you.
Tim Jewell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to speak against the amendment. Having gone through several times where, and having been in the minority when we would, when the majority would be forced to come to the minority for a three-quarter vote, I think at the time we used it for good purposes. But, you know, if I felt it was justified based on our spending habits and what we've seen come out of there in the last couple of years once we started putting money in this statutory budget reserve, I might agree. But there's another piece of this, though, that, and I know I, we start to make this with regards to the dividend program, I think even more of an entitlement. And what do we, by driving that up? And until we make a decision from the fiscal policy group about how we're going to handle long-range fiscal decisions, I think we need to be a little bit more diversified. And so at this point, I would speak against it. And, you know, because there's ways that we can make that permanent fund work for us if we were to do things like put all of our revenues right in there and stand this whole thing up and live off the, you know, basically the, what was it, the Roger Cremo plan. And have those kinds of discussions, but that's not what we're having here. We're just taking a chunk of, it's hardly change, a big chunk of money and just simply moving it over. And I don't think that until we have the other discussions, that's what we should be doing, in my opinion.
Any comments? Representative Edgman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to applaud the efforts of colleagues to my left because I understand the spirit of his amendment, and you know, I think one of his objectives is to engender discussion on this whole topic, which I think is also fruitful, whether or not this amendment passes or not. But I as well share the comments of Representative from Kotzebue in the sense that this obviously brings on a whole array of conversations. We're not just talking about increasing dividends to Alaskans. We're talking about the liquidity position of state government, dependent on future policy actions we may take next session, federal funds decreasing. There's a whole hodgepodge of things built into this. And so for that reason, I'm going to hold off on supporting it for now. But maybe down the road, this is something that I can definitely support. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to oppose the amendment. I know in my staff days I put a lot of effort and helped write a lot of amendments putting money in the permanent fund, and that's I know it had positive and negative consequences when we did it at some junctures, transferring money from earnings reserve. We unwittingly put our dividend source it. This isn't that. That's not a complication of this. I don't want that to be on the record. It's everything we do as a complication. We're putting a lot of effort into our fiscal policy efforts, and I hope this is an issue that will be discussed in our fiscal policy efforts if this measure doesn't pass today. But, a lot of sympathy. My freshman year, I put a spending limit on the table that had some real castor oil in it, and I think think that's the only way you do is you take money off the table. That it's there's got to be a concomitance of opinion through the whole process, and we're doing a dance to get out of here right now, and that's maybe not appropriate, but it's a reality of this would definitely be a complication in our delicate negotiations. That's probably not appropriate to talk about others, but you could probably appreciate that as one of the things on the table. I'll leave you with your closing comments, Representative Guttenberg.
Thank you, Chair. Mr. Chairman, this is a big budget. We're trying to build a state. That's a very appropriate thing for us to do. We're trying to drive down the cost of life in Alaska by the cost of energy. We're spending money, spending a lot of money in a lot of places. And I'd like to thank the representative for putting this amendment on the table, because we could say that we've put money in over here and we've put money over here, but we really do need to say at the end of the day that we had a discussion about putting $2.2 billion into the savings account out of our reach. I think just having that discussion by itself is important, because we can go home and say we had the discussion, we had a serious dialogue about it, and at this point we're doing many things and trying to get that done. I applaud it, and I'm going to support the amendment. We're doing a lot of good things in the budget, things that are supposed to be done, but I think we do need to have the dialogue that says we are trying to put money away when the price of oil peaked at about 120, and I think the public wants to hear that have happened.
Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to oppose this amendment for several reasons. It's the ability to manage the state's budget. The price of oil is going down. It's been going down the last week. We can take this money. Who doesn't want to put money into the permanent fund dividend? We all would like to do that. The permanent fund dividend is doing very well lately.
It is a permanent fund. We're not putting this. This is not to put it in the permanent fund dividend. Just for clarity, for the record.
Fund transfer. The ability to manage the state's future expenditures, the legislature's appropriating body, just takes that away, and I don't like doing that. I think we did right by putting in a statutory budget reserve. I think the state's doing good, and a point to building the future, and an ability to have the tools to do that. We all like to try and move money around. It's just more of a shell game. I think this allows us to do that, and I will oppose this amendment.
Thank you. Any other before we go to wrap up?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not trying to indulge in a shell game here, Mr. Chairman. I'm serious about this, and I need to say two things. My understanding of what this does is it would put the money into the permanent fund, which would generate, I think if they're still doing this on a five-year average, some incremental increase in the dividend. It's not going to, all of this money doesn't go into the dividend right away, and it doesn't so we're not increasing the dividend by this amount. I don't want anybody to understand that's what this does. Secondly, in regard to my colleague from District 40, I think I'm on the record. I have tried to be on the record as saying that I don't support the way that we're handling the constitutional budget reserve. That, like most things here, I believe that it should be available with a simple majority. And if someone were going to introduce a change in the law to do that, I would support it. A change in the Constitution, I would support it. Because I just don't think that's the way we shouldn't be managing this according to what in some cases you would call the dead hand of our predecessors in arranging this. So I'm not trying to create a situation which drives a future legislature to a three three-quarters vote because I don't support the three-quarters vote. What I'm really trying to do is just take a certain amount of money, which is, at this point, excess to the state's needs, and put it into the permanent fund, which is I've always seen as the place that we should put money when we have the opportunity. This looks like an opportunity to me, so I'm giving you this amendment. Thank you.
In the most friendly of fashion, I want to say you've been curmudgeonly consistent on this issue.
Thank you.
So I found a sounds like there'll be a roll call.
Yeah,
on this one.
Please.
Representative Guerra.
Yes.
Representative Guttenberg.
Yes.
Representative Jewell.
No.
Representative Newman.
No.
Representative Wilson.
No.
Representative Costello.
No.
Representative Dugan.
Yes.
Representative Edgman.
No.
Representative Fairclough.
No.
Representative Chenault.
No. No. Please announce the roll. So, amendment number four has failed to pass.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Dugan. Amendment number five, Representative Guttenberg.
Mr. Chairman, move amendment number five.
I will check.
First of all, I would like to thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the sequencing of this amendment. Coming after the previous amendment, it's only 1% of that one. Approximately 1%. But in Fairbanks, we're discovering what school districts and sports leagues around the state have discovered, and that is artificial turf for our young athletes is important in a lot of ways. It reduces injuries. It extends the playing season. It's cost-effective. It makes our students more competitive by being able to be engaged in athletics for a longer period of time. I mean, we all suffer from the break-up blues on it or the freeze-up, but it allows students to keep playing. Currently, there's about 8 artificial turf fields around the state. I think there's one in Barrow that was privately funded, and there's one here, and I think the rest of them are in South Central. In my family, I've heard for more than 20 years the dialogue of teams being chosen in soccer leagues in Fairbanks, and 2 weeks later they're traveling to Anchorage or other parts of the state, and they just got onto the field, and kids in other parts of the state have been playing for a month or 6 weeks already. Artificial turfs are more effective in preventing sports injuries. I think there are a couple of these in the budget as well. And I think it's going to become prevalent around the state that more schools, as they get built or remodeled, that it becomes part of the status that these kinds of fields are available for our students. Because I've talked to students who said, you know, they thought they could have gotten athletic scholarships if they had just been a little bit more time on the turf or practicing, whether it's soccer or football. So I think this would be Fairbanks' first field. We're already lined up for having conversations with coaches and leagues. Want to talk to us about this as well when we get home. And I urge your support of this little amendment that's 1% of the previous amendment.
Mr. Armstrong, is there a CAPSIS request for this project?
I'm not sure. I can go look.
I have it. Yes, I have it right here. Oh. Here, yeah.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I will be opposing this amendment. It's not because I don't think maybe it's a good idea. We know there's a lot of good things that happen with this type of turf, but in the capital budget already, we have at least $1.9 million going to the Fairbanks North Star Borough for parks and recreation facilities, another $1 million for another park, as well as softball fields and other fields. I think this probably needs to be something that goes back to our borough and have them come up with some type of priority list to us on how they want to see these things developed. But for us to do that here without more look of exactly how we would do all the fields and what this other money is going to, I think it's just not the proper timing at this point. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Other questions or comments on this? I want to say I've I helped initiate the discussion of this, and I'm speaking to the our Parks and Recs director from South Central, initiated the discussion trying to get Fairbanks integrated in this discussion. I had numerous conversations. I had a hallway conversation with Mayor Hopkins and didn't see one. And my conversation was I will help finish up whatever the other body can put in on this project to them. We just had a $44 million project where the other body didn't, and the delegation didn't do the lift on it. And I feel a little bit torn on this one. I want, these are good projects, and there was a lot of work for folks that I initiated to help other communities get started. I don't have a field turf in my legislative district. I've helped a lot of other areas get them. One more example where this lift didn't come from the other body. I said, get some of it or half of it, most of it, and just another deaf ears issue on that one. And I just, we just did a $44 million amendment within the committee substitute for a project from the interior. And, I'm frustrated by this because I want field turf around the state. And I just don't like this lift all just thrown back on here when we had such a outside of the scholarship program and the in-state gas, which are not actually spent but parked money, our increase in this budget is pretty modest compared to the other bodies. And I'm just frankly frustrated by the lack of lift on the other side when there were a lot of conversations that I helped initiate. And if I'm a little bit testy, it's because I am, and I had an expectation, boy, if they would have put a million in, or if they would have. And it sends a signal when it's not prioritized on the other side when I did have multiple conversations with that I initiated. So I'm going to oppose it on that grounds, and I want to, I'll leave the any other comments from Mr. Guerra.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I know that you've also worked on artificial turf in the past because you truly believe that it's useful for the reasons we've heard. I find myself thinking back to a debate we had a few years ago. I think we all consider ourselves statewide representatives, not representatives of just our district. And a number of years ago, people from my community came in and wanted money for a series of pools that we have in the municipality of Anchorage, and they had every right to want that. Some of those pools were suffering reduced hours. But I thought to myself, you know, here we are trying to get a few million dollars for my community for a legitimate issue, and people are drowning in Bethel because there's not a single swimming pool in the city of Bethel. I think that changes in this year's budget finally. And I thought that was wrong, that so much emphasis was going on to my community but not a community that didn't have a single swimming pool. And now my community has artificial turf in a number of schools, but we don't have any in Fairbanks. And I've got to say, this is not as driving an issue to me as the swimming pool issue was, but it's an issue of regional equity. And absent an argument that artificial turf is more needed in Anchorage than it is in Fairbanks, and I think it's probably the other way given the shorter growing season for grass, I think the request is a valid one, with the caveat that we have to find a way to economize. This is a big budget, and I'll have a proposal to reduce some of the money in the budget. But I think on the merits, it makes sense.
They got a dog park. That's it. Any other questions, Representative Gutenberg? Can wrap up. And
I think the arguments have been played out, and I do want to thank you, Mr. Chair, because you have been very supportive and keep the dialogue going and the importance of this. And you're a very strong advocate of youth sports. I think as we do things for our students around the state to make sure they're more competitive, that they have more opportunities, this is one of them that plays into the same field of game of things. And so with that.
Okay. I'm going to maintain my reluctant objection, but please call the roll.
Representative Dugan.
Yes.
Representative Edgman.
No.
Representative Faircloth.
No.
Representative Guerra.
Yes.
Representative Guttenberg.
Yes.
Representative Jewell.
No.
Representative Newman.
No.
Representative Wilson.
No.
Representative Costello.
No.
Representative Stoltz.
No.
Representative Schnell.
No.
3 yay, 8 nay.
So amendment number 5 fails to pass. Representative Guttenberg.
Thank you. I move amendment number 6.
Okay. Representative Guttenberg.
Amendment number 6 is another one that as well was in CAPSIS. And again, thank you for the sequencing. And if I may make an amendment, the amount is not $50,000 but $35,000. Correction, if I may.
We'll take that as a friendly amendment.
Yeah. And we can blame the Senate, somebody over because it is appropriate. This is a CAPSIS project, and there were 5 legislators' names on it. Somehow, they each of us requested $10,000, but only $15,000 showed up in the budget. I don't know how that happened, but when I read the CAPSIS report, it's a shame. Whatever happened to it doesn't make any sense to me. So what this is funding of $10,000 for the 5 legislators for the Imaginarium Library, which provide books for all children, I think it's preschool. I was coming out of the post office one day, and there was a little girl walking out of the library with a big book in her hand. And I happened to ask the parent if that was an Imaginarium Library, and she talked about how important that book was to that child, and every month the child was just waiting anxiously for the book to arrive because she wanted to read it, she wanted to get involved in it. This continues this $35,000 continues that program for the school districts in Fairbanks for those students. I know it's funded in a lot of places around the state. Their CAPSIS may have been done differently. I don't know what happened, but this funds it to the requested level.
I'm going to remove my objection unless somebody you want to. Representative Wilson.
I just have a question. I thought that Best Beginnings, which is also part of this, that there was monies in the operating budget for that program.
There was in the budget. It was reduced in conference committee. Is that your recollection, Representative Guerra?
Mr. Chair, there's Best Beginnings money in the budget, yeah. But that's not supposed to be all dedicated to Imagination Library.
I just wasn't sure where it landed, and I know a lot of the money does go to this program, so that's all I was curious. Thank you.
Is another objection maintained as amended? We're going to adopt number 6 is for an amount of $35,000 is adopted.
Thank you.
Mr. Armstrong.
Just for members' clarification, James Armstrong, that would amend page 68 of the bill, lines 7 through 9. The 15 is located there, and bump it up to 50.
Thank you. Okay, amendment number 7.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move amendment number 7.
I'll object.
And then just for clarification, amendment number 8 is blank, but that's mine too. But on amendment number 7, Mr. Chair, I'm trying to bring this issue up so we can find a fiscally sound way to expand the Port of Anchorage. If you look at the second page of the amendment, by some estimates, this port is now $800 million over budget. In 2003, the proposed expansion was asked by the port to be $227 million. Then it went up to $300 million, to $375 million. Then it went up to $526 million, to $700 million 2 years ago. And according to the port director's testimony 2 days ago in this committee, the projected cost now is $1.1 billion. If I look around the state, most ports and harbors, and I could be wrong about this, but from my reading of the budget, most ports and harbors involve some sort of local funding. And what that does is that causes the locality to look at the project, make sure it's efficient because they're paying for it. The municipality of Anchorage has never put one single dime into the Port of Anchorage, not a single dime into a project that now has accumulated, I think, about $300 million. And so the government, my city government, could say, oh, we're overseeing it. Now there's a port authority that runs the port. They could say we're overseeing it, but they really don't have any stake in keeping the cost down because they're not paying for it. The amendment reduces a $37.5 million appropriation down to $20 million. And that's far from punitive. $20 million is the most we've ever given the port in the past. The state never gave the port any money for this expansion project. Don Young had promised that he would be able to get federal money for it. We heard from the port director that federal money is no longer forthcoming, at least for the next 2 years, given the mood in Congress and earmark reform discussions. The first state appropriation was, I believe, 4 years ago, and that was for $10 million. Then the next 2 years, it was $20 million. Last year, it was $20 million. This year, the governor proposed $20 million, which I thought was possibly excessive. And now it's up to $37.5 million. I'm not saying this port does not need to expand. People have made a good case that this port does need to expand. The question is, for how much money, how efficiently, with what level of oversight, and by reducing the $37.5 million request down to $20 million, I think we could send a message to the port and the municipality that somebody needs to get involved in overseeing a project that is now $800 million more than it was when it was originally proposed. The state can't keep sinking money into this money pit, and it's becoming a money pit. It's a needed project, but the way it's being managed is almost like we're going to build it to as much money as we can get for it. And with limited resources, you can't build like that. So the amendment is both a message that the oversight of this port has been poor, the plans for this port don't seem to be cost-effective, and we want a cost-effective plan if the state is going to keep contributing money to the expansion of this port. In the end, I think we should also have a discussion, and it's beyond today, about whether the city should start matching or the city should start putting some money into this project, like most other communities do for their ports and harbors. That would cause some local oversight. But the state can't afford to keep paying for a project that keeps increasing in costs by 500% by now. And so that's the goal of the amendment, is to spur some real oversight so the state is left with some savings at the end of the day. Thank you.
Representative Fairclough.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to speak in opposition to the proposed amendment. Mr. Chairman, we have a debacle on our hands. I think that it's been all over the paper, and we have a litigation going between contractors, cities, and federal state agencies. We have a project that provides 80% to 85% of the goods to all Alaska as the vehicle to provide that, the docking location. Mr. Chairman, Governor Sheffield is hired to operate a dock. He was in a unique position, being a former governor, to be the face of this particular project, to ask for funding at a state level, at a federal level, and at a city level. I did some investigation over the last week because this isn't the first time we've seen an amendment to reduce money to the port of Anchorage, really the port of all Alaska. Mr. Chairman, a forensic audit has been asked for by the city of Anchorage. One of the problems that they face is a prior agreement by a prior administration that allowed flexibility in total oversight, per se, by the Maritime, see if I get this right, MARAD, by the Maritime Organization. MARAD hired a subcontractor or a contractor to manage and oversee this project, and from some's perspective, that contractor has failed to manage sheet pile installation appropriately. The project started because of our strategic location and the port's location directly next to a military facility, and the northern expansion was put in place to meet that need of staging and being able to move military personnel as well as freight and operation goods in and out of the state in an efficient manner. To do that, they had to establish the agreement, again, with the former administration of the city of Anchorage, who supported this project going forward and supported the original planning of how we would phase this new project going forward. We have seen cost overruns that are unacceptable. My understanding is that the current administration, Mayor Sullivan, has created a new agreement, or they're getting ready to sign a new agreement that puts the municipality directly in conversation with MARAD so that they're at the table with the contractor so that the oversight can be increased. In addition, it's my understanding that MARAD has agreed to put a person in Anchorage on site to oversee this project. The agreement also sets up a committee in Anchorage for all of those parties to get together and be able to establish a timeline with a cost associated with those timelines so that if they come to the state again, which we expect them to do, that we'll know what we get for the dollar that we're willing to invest. Personally, for me, I hope that because of the support of Senator Ted Stevens in this project and the former administration who set this into action, now Senator Mark Begich, that Senator Begich, along with the entire congressional delegation, step up and fix the problem that we've experienced because of who's managed the contracts at the federal level, step back away from it because they're in litigation, so there are many things that aren't on the table. And, Mr. Chairman, they actually need more than the $37.5 million that is before us to complete the project. But finally, in closing, the whole reason we're investing any money is because if the Ship Creek area were to be hit by an earthquake right now, the pilings that are currently in existing may be susceptible to failure. And what the contract has attempted to do is to increase the stability of what's there as well as doing the expansion. So I'm certainly not here saying that we haven't seen a project that has grown. I don't know if it's changed. I was involved on the upfront when I served on the Anchorage Assembly on looking at expanding the port. I know why I supported the expansion, because the military is an integral part of Alaska and that we need to be strategic. But, Mr. Chairman, I just would ask that we don't try to send the wrong message to Anchorage or to the military or to our federal delegation that we're stepping away from knowing that this is the lifeblood of transportation in and out of Alaska. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And thank you, Madam Vice Chair. Just for the record, on page 20 of our House CS, this language was in the other body as well. Just three sentences long. It is the intent of the legislature that the municipality of Anchorage submit quarterly progress reports to the President of the Senate and the Speaker of the House of Representatives on Port of Anchorage port expansion project, getting all cost overruns and any significant project scope changes. That's a pretty significant message we're sending. I know the importance of this port was expressed by the mayor who served previously to Mayor Sullivan. I remember when the governor, who served from December 4th, 2006 to sometime in July of 2009, vetoed port money, the then mayor of Anchorage very vehemently expressed his concern that it was a compromise to national security. And that was, I remember that very well because it was trumpeted in the press and repeatedly. This certainly deals with our economic security as well. It is the port that serves the varying percentages, but in excess of 80-85% of all of Alaska is some way served by this port. It's not without its criticisms. I think that's reflected in that pretty strongly strong language in the expectations of this body. I've had personal conversations with Mayor Sullivan expressing our expectations of management, and I was also just for my part of supporting this when members of industry, members of business, members from labor came down with the governor and with the former governor, now the port director, and independently communicating their concerns about the economic significance of this project, certainly has made me feel it's important to include at least this amount. In confidence with the vice chair, it's not the amount requested or needed. It is going to be an incremental process, and
Mr. Chairman, one thing about asking Anchorage to contribute dollars to the project, if I might say, they have contributed time, which is in kind and very small compared to the state. But if we ask Anchorage to step up and contribute personally, what we're really asking is for Anchorage to tax the residents of that community additionally. And I certainly don't support the additional tax of residents to try to provide that. But, again, that's up to a policy decision of this body and the municipality of Anchorage. But I believe that they are contributing. I don't think we see it in dollars and cents on the project, but they are contributing.
Representative Dugan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to support the amendment, and my reason is that it's not just that the cost of this work has gone up considerably, which it has. It's going up at an escalating rate, so that, you know, what was $300 million in 04 was $700 million in 08 and is now $1.1 billion up as we sit here now, we think. It, you know, we can talk about this until the cows come home, but the only message that's actually going to get delivered to anybody involved in this process that has any teeth is this message. That it's a message in which we reduce the amount that we're going to put into this with the clear intention of getting some better management of this, some better result from that management, and some reduction in the cost of it. And if, you know, if we don't do that, we can sort of talk about how tough we're going to be, but really we're not tough until we take some money away from somebody. And that's why I'm supporting the amendment. It's sort of a, it's a very crude way to do this. This is not the way that I would normally support trying to manage a project at this such a large remove, because that's what we're sort of trying to do. It's a sledgehammer, I admit that, but it's the only tool that I've got. You know, I don't have any other tool to convey to the people who are running this that they've done a bad job and that they're going to have to make some substantial showing that they're going to do better. And so that's why I'm going to support this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I know we have another bridge project up north just in, before it's even the design is done. It's already done. So it's, I don't want to be selective in my criticisms.
Nor do I, Mr. Chairman.
Any other comments from the committee? Representative Guerra, briefly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, I don't want to absolve those running the port of responsibility. They have said in other forums outside of this legislature that if people wanted, they can come up with different designs, a smaller design, a much smaller design, a much larger design. And there are many ways that we can engage in the oversight that's needed of this project. The oversight is needed. We can do it with this amendment. We can require them to come to the legislature with a slate of potential expansion options, which they've apparently showed to other people. But those are under the direct control of the port director. The size of this expansion, the way this project is being expanded, are all of that is under the control of this current port director. you know, so we could do it through legislative hearings where we come up with an agreement on how big the expansion is going to be. I don't want the city to raise taxes on people in the municipality of Anchorage to pay for this project, but the city could bond. But this whole idea that the city is going to engage in oversight when it's not paying any money, that's not oversight. You know, what incentive do they have to make sure this thing comes in cost effectively and at the smallest cost for the state of the for the people of the state of Alaska? And just, you know, we always get into this when we debate the port. 80 to 85% of the goods that come into the state come in through the port. I support the port, and I support some expansion of the port. I just don't support the sort of bottomless pit of money that has developed in the offices at the port. So, thank you.
I'll just add, not to trump you last, but I hope that that first quarter report comes after we're adjourned for this special session. So, will the clerk make an objection is maintained? Please call the roll.
Representative Edgman.
No.
Representative Fairclough.
No.
Representative Gilroy.
Yes.
Representative Guttenberg.
Yes.
Representative Jewell.
Yes.
Representative Newman. That's louder neighborly. Representative Wilson. No. Representative Costello. No. Representative Deegan. Yes. Representative Chenault. No. Representative Stolt. No. 3 yeas, 8 nays. So amendment number 7 is not adopted. Amendment number 8.
I move amendment number 8, Mr. Chair.
Representative Guerra.
Thank you. Now you just took away my thunder because amendment number 7 was going to more than pay for amendment number 8. Amendment number 8 puts money into a fund that we created last year when we passed our energy plan, SB 220. This state has set a goal of 50% renewable energy by within the next decade. We provide funds to private homeowners and housing authorities to upgrade the energy efficiency through the energy weatherization and rebate programs in the state. But we don't provide money to businesses to help them upgrade their energy efficiency. And so SB 220 contained a fund that is a revolving loan fund, and the state has done a good job in managing its revolving loan fund so they don't actually cost the state money over the long term. We get paid back at a very good rate when they're run properly. And the discussion has been for about $10 million, you can have a revolving loan fund that lets out about 50 loans at a time. In rural Alaska, private businesses don't get PCE. Those businesses would be ones that would apply for the revolving loan fund. I mean, there's an anomaly in PCE where you're paying for power cost equalization and not providing an incentive for companies to upgrade their energy efficiency at the same time. And this will help with that. But we passed the bill last year. Right now, the Senate put $2.5 million into the revolving loan fund, but that's going to result in just a couple loans a year. And so I'd ask for support for this. It's a modest amount of money. If at some point the state falls into tough fiscal times, as with all revolving loan funds, we can take the money back and the money doesn't get lost. It's money that still belongs to the state. But upgrading energy efficiency is not just important for homes. It's important for businesses, and it's really important for rural businesses that don't get PCE. So I'm asking for support for amendment number 8.
Comments from members? I'm having a hard time. I still have a little revolving loan fund that's been subsidized in DNR, Agriculture Revolving Loan Fund. Until I get that one fixed, I'm not really excited about kickstarting some others. You know, it's one of my prerogatives. And that's not as much on subject. It shows where I'm stuck on some other related issues. Any other comments? Clerk, call the roll.
Representative Wilson.
No.
Representative Costello?
No.
Representative Dugan?
No.
Representative Edgman?
No.
Representative Faircloth?
No.
Representative Garrow?
Yes.
Representative Guttenberg?
Yes.
Representative Jewell?
No.
Representative Newman?
No.
Representative Chenault?
No.
Representative Stolt?
No.
Please announce the roll.
2 yeas, 9 nays.
So, the amendment fails to pass. The last amendment before us, unless there's others that have come in, is amendment number 9. I'll move amendment number 9. That's for objection. Correct. Mr. Armstrong, can you please describe to the committee? It's fairly well laid out here, but this is within the Juneau delegation.
Chair James Armstrong, this is a net zero amendment. What the Juneau delegation proposes to do is take $2.5 million from their $10 million cruise ship dock improvements and transfer the funds to an existing appropriation, the Sea Alaska Heritage Center, that has $2.5 of general funds. So the Juneau dock would be $7.5, the Heritage Center would be $5, and then we propose moving that project from Section 1 of the bill to the cruise ship section of the bill. And I have a memo from the three members of the delegation supporting this.
Are objections maintained?
I withdraw my objection.
Representative Guttenberg.
Just an observation, Mr. Chair. Just a few years ago, with the support of this legislature, in Fairbanks, the Morse Thompson Center was built. And instantly, we saw a facility that surrounded the community instead of the other way around. It was an amazing addition to the community for its cultural and diversity, and just a wonderful part integrating the entire community into the culture, the historic culture of the area. And if this is designed to do that, this is a very worthwhile thing.
And also in the previous bill, I believe it's been signed by the governor, Senate Bill 84 has provisions for tax credits for Alaska Native Heritage Centers, of which we have major ones in Fairbanks, Morris Thomas, Northeast Anchorage, the Native Heritage Center, and the Sea Alaska, and maybe others, but that's another vehicle to assist those. Any Representative Chenault?
Mr. Chairman, just in another comment, and it's been probably because I've been out of finance. I would have some concern that the gambling tax I thought was supposed to be set aside for new and emerging ports. Just for people's information, Juneau is not a new and emerging port, so I would concern myself that we're using or may use funds that are not intended for that use. So I would concern myself. I won't argue against the project. I think the project is a good project. I think we need to be very careful in how we appropriate funds from different funding sources.
So noted, this amendment provides less money from that source. Is objection objection has been removed. Is there any other objection? So amendment number 9 is adopted without objection. Are there other amendments?
I'm taking at ease, Mr. Chairman.
And in recess. else back from recess at 10:04? Or is it 10:04? I can't be right.
12:15.
No, 12:15. God, my eyes are so bad. Oh, that's horrible. We were at amendment number 10. And I'm going to move amendment number 10 and ask for an objection.
Object.
Mr. Armstrong, it's one of those technical natured amendments.
Through the chair, James Armstrong. Amendment number 10 is a kind of a merge technical amendment again. The Senate had an effective date of May 17th for any project scope changes. Just allows those projects to have a five-week jump instead of June 30th. So
that's assuming we leave pretty soon. So.
Correct. So that's all it really does.
Any questions on this amendment?
Under my objection.
So amendment number 10 is adopted. Amendment number 11. I'll move amendment number 11 and ask for an objection.
Objection.
This amendment is a clarifying language change on the performance scholarship money, the $400 million. It's parked. Really, the intent of that, how that's spent, won't be affected until the bill passes, which is in the other body, and it's not going to be dealt with this session. But to clarify that it's the funding source is for, or the funding, the money is intended for not just the merit or performance scholarships, but the other advantage slash needs based as well. And that's the intent of this amendment, sponsored myself and Speaker Schultz. It's consistent with what I think we all intend to do, and it just puts a set of suspenders along with a belt. And I think the legislation will be the driving force, but this provides more clarity and puts a stake on what our position is. I think it's a good amendment. Representative Guerra.
Oh, no, thank you, Mr. Chair and the Speaker. I just want to thank you for doing this. This just, of all the things that we're debating in this building, this just takes one off the table, and I appreciate you doing that.
And I don't think it changes anything that we were doing, but it does provide clarity, and I think if it facilitates anything good, I'm for it. Is objection maintained?
Withdraw my objection.
Any other objection? None. Amendment number 11 is adopted. I think that was our last amendment, Mr. Armstrong. Right. We have a global motion from Vice Chair.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we authorize Legal Services and Legislative Finance Division to make any necessary technical and conforming changes to the legislation.
Yeah, I think we'd have normally done that after we had moved it, but is there objection to that? So that amendment is adopted, or that global amendment is adopted. Mr. Armstrong.
Thank you. Before we make the motion to move the bill out, there's some people I'd like to recognize that are behind the scenes that make the capital budget go. Brock Carpenter from Ledge Finance.
Yes, we all know you are. Just stand. I know it's embarrassing for you.
Uh-huh.
We appreciate you, Mr. Carpenter.
Amy Foskett, who's the programmer of CAPSIS. She puts in tireless hours. And Catherine Kurtz and Brian Kane from Ledge Legal. Mr. Teal.
You're back here.
Mr. Eklund helps a lot. He's had 7 years of institutional knowledge. Miles, 2.5 years. We've worked together on this thing, and except for one day, we've had a great relationship.
Are you going to tell us what day that was?
Miles Baker from Senator Stedman's office will be leaving the legislative branch here for other adventures.
Helen Phillips and her crew, they work tirelessly behind the scenes. Joe Michelle. The apprentice, he's a good job helping me out. And always, Mr. Rayfield, it's a pleasure to work with.
I want to really thank Mr. Michelle. He's been incredibly resourceful for my office. Because he was from the interior, I was viewing it as an affirmative action hire, but he's excelled at his position, and it's been a valuable part of this this process and catching things that both Mr. Armstrong and I missed, which I appreciate. And, I know I wouldn't say Mr. Armstrong is modest, but he won't give himself a pat on the back. But In addition to being one of my best friends, it's good to have somebody you trust and you know has your back in this process and has such a respect for the institution and works well, like me, maybe a lapse of a couple hours on a given day once in a while. I couldn't do this process without Mr. Armstrong and the professional relationships that he has with all the people in the building, the way they work together. Without that, we wouldn't be through this process as drudgingly painful as it seems at times, and however long it takes, we've gotten through an important step of this, and I hope this is a light at the end of the tunnel. Any other, Mr. Speaker?
Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to thank you for the work you've done. The only thing that I've noticed a change in the meetings between when I was the co-chair and when you are now is that you allow your members to talk more than I do.
You want me to fix that?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Well, with that, any other comments? We're going to do a little bit of valedictory before we move the bill out. We've spent enough time waiting for it, so we can at least I think we're played out, and I think we're all anxious to return to our homes and loved ones. So, Madam Vice Chair.
Mr. Chairman, I move the House CS for the CS for Senate Bill Number 46 Finance as amended 27-GS1740/Y with individual committee recommendations. Is there fiscal note?
No.
just checking, Mr. Chair.
It'd be a big one.
From committee, Mr. Chairman.
With individual recommendations.
With individual recommendations.
Are there any objections? Hearing none. My profound thanks to all of you. And again, reiterate your patience of you and your staff for the hurry up and wait portions of this process. I really feel bad about that when it happens because I'd like to try to keep these measures on. The public is waiting, even more so than us. We're used to this process. And the staff who... This call of the chair is a very frustrating part of the process. It's necessary not having the bill in place and being ready to have it. Appreciate the public's, I'm not sure they're that understanding, but we'll find out when we get home. But thank you, everybody. With that, the bill's moved from committee, and I think we can adjourn, or we just need to stand at recess, Mr. Speaker. Do you see any reason why we... Pardon? I think that was my inclination as well. So we'll stand and recess the call of chair.